ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Science of fun. That apparently is one of the definitions of toyology. And in a few moments' time, we'll be dealing with the founder of toyology, of course, the wonderful Peter Jenkins. We've also got Juliet Ward from Argos, because apparently it's that time of the year where we should be making our Christmas lists. I don't know. All most people want for Christmas is another Chloe Groves record. Isn't that right, Chloe?
Yay! Well, absolutely. You never know. Maybe this Christmas there'll be a Christmas single.
Exactly.
About toys. Maybe about toys.
You know, I think we can work on that sort of system. So Argos have apparently produced this list, which reveals its annual top toys for Christmas. The Lego Lamborghini is apparently in there. So is the child from The Mandalorian, which is also known as Baby Yoda. And something I haven't quite got my head around as yet, I don't know about yourself, Chloe, maybe you're a lot younger, you might sort of think, oh yes, the pooping flamingo. I've always been aware of the pooping flamingo.
There's these things now where they've got a lot of pooping going on with the toys. I don't know, it's just, it must be this new trend, I mean.
I mean, Well, I've just been bemused by that. And if we're hopefully joined in a few moments by Sarah Huntley, if she manages to find a part of her house that actually isn't occupied by medical students and indeed actually gives her broadband connection, we will find out whether indeed she has heard of the pooping flamingo. But what were your own favourite toys? I mean, let me say, you strike me as somebody who... Maybe, were you a Barbie girl? I don't know.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Alex, I had, this is no joke, about 40 Barbies. 40. It was crazy. I had the kit, you know, when you can have your kitchen, Barbie kitchen and your aeroplane and everything. I loved Polly Pockets. That was another thing of my favourites. And also Game Boys. Pokemon. I was obsessed with it. I mean, they've done a Pokemon Go now, haven't they, over the past few years, but I was obsessed. Buckaroo, Guess Who, that's a good game. Connect Four. Sorry, I'm still rambling. I'm still going.
This is good, Chloe. This is essential material. Buckaroo, I think, has been around for a fair amount of time. Pikachu, of course, likewise, has kind of occurred over the last century. So those are old-fashioned things. And Barbie, of course, has been with us since the 50s. So did you have any... Was it just Barbie or was it Barbie and Ken?
Oh, I liked Ken, but I never actually bought Ken. Well, my mum and dad never got it for me, so it was just always the Barbies, really. And I used to cut the hair. How terrible. I would start cutting the hair with scissors. I don't know why I do that. And I was trying to cut up the outfits and I made a right mess trying to, you know, I don't know what I was doing as a kid. But it wasn't aggressive. It was nice with a Barbie, but I just did dodgy haircuts and stuff on the Barbies. I don't know.
So did you have a singing Barbie? Was there a thing as a singing Barbie?
I don't think I did, but I kind of just reenacted it. I would just sing as if the Barbie was singing, I guess, because I used to make my little own little stories up, you know.
Oh, of course, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is something which opens up a whole range of things. I see that Super Mario and Paw Patrol make the top 12 list, as well as Lego. Oh, well, Lego Super Mario, in fact. I mean... I kind of sort of mixed with Lego. I suppose I was more Lego than Meccano, but yeah, Lego was something I sort of used to a certain extent. You a Lego girl?
I do like Lego, but I never particularly played it as a child, to be honest. I wasn't big on it, but it's still a good game, you know.
Well, it's nice. As I said, the top 12 list is actually out now, and Juliet Ward from Argus will be talking a little bit about that in terms of favourite toys, etc. I mean, were you surprised by any of the things that we've looked at in terms of this? I presume the pooping flamingo is actually under the little live pets gotta go flamingo. And if you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, I am surprised. You know, you never know what, you know, the kids are going to like from one year to the next. Something changes. There was this thing... I don't know what it was, but it moves in your hand. I can't remember what they call it that people keep squashing and playing with in the hands. It's like Play-Doh or something. I don't know. Have you heard of that? I don't know what that is.
I've heard of stress balls, certainly, and stress balls were something that were quite interesting. You could squash those in your hand, and apparently it eased the stress. I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. Clearly we're going to have to put that to our toyologist as and when he joins us. I also see that the designer friend Sienna doll has I mean, does that mean you actually start from scratch? Is that genetic engineering? You know, is it a case of, you know, because clearly if they want to design a friend, it'll be a kind of combination for me of a kind of cross between yourself and Sarah, really, or either, really, when that's what I mean. I mean, that's and then of course the Pixies Crystal Flyers.
Oh, that sounds nice. I've not that I recognise most of the ones you've mentioned, but I'm not. I've not seen that Pixie one.
And I was fascinated. I mean, whether this is actually going into the pooping pets line, etc. There's apparently a Poopsie dancing unicorn.
Yes, I've seen that one. It's amazing. They've got some good things. And LOL. The LOL is quite popular at the moment as well. Is it? I think they call it LOL or something.
Yes, the LOL surprise. OMG, yes. Fashion dolls.
Yeah, they are like really, really on trend at the moment. On trend. There you go. The kids are on trend.
Yeah, I mean, they're all falling into the kind of £30 to £50 bracket. So I suppose you could say they're not too sort of dramatic. Actually, the biggest expense would be if you're looking to go for the Paw Patrol Dino Rescue Dino Patroller. or is it Dino? Probably Dino. Dino Rescue, Dino Patroller, and it's £65 for a Paw Patrol Dino Rescue, Dino Patroller, which is interesting from that. And so it goes. And I think that actually, when we talk about rescue patrollers, we may, fingers crossed, be able to actually welcome Sarah Huntley to this little discussion in any way, shape, or form. We've had toys and various other factors that have been working through our process and so on, and she's got a whole new world set up. It's like connecting with a different galaxy. Hi, Sarah. Are you safely ensconced in your new area, or do I need to talk whilst you catch your breath?
No, I'm fine.
So, I've already identified Chloe as being a Barbie girl collector. Now, I'm thinking about yourself, and I'm thinking you're probably more a teddy bear soul, possibly, or maybe a sort of is that true to? I don't know. Or were you actually a secret fan of Operation?
Oh, is that Thunderbirds?
Yes. It could be. Yes.
I love Tracy Island and all the. I went and bought those about 20 years ago when they came back out again.
Yeah,
I'm nostalgic, so I like connecting with objects of toys which belong to my family. So that's kind of what I don't throw away. Probably I love Cindy dolls too, but I haven't. But this was a teddy bear that belonged to my aunt. So I'm working out he must be 84, something like
looking
that.
Very good, but, for 84, I think.
Yeah,
very good.
I'll just check, and I'm going to take you. And the other thing really love.
We're moving it around. Who knows where we're going to go now?
The listener. Ooh, the magic of the Huntley house. Not really. This is a house. This is a room, which I don't show many people because it's pretty disgusting.
We appreciate the joy of that.
Stuff. But what I wanted to show you was this, if you can see with the light. Oh gosh, it's not good.
We're looking actually at a wonderful sort of dark screen, it looks like a doll's house. It looks like a scary doll's house.
Oh wow!
Yes.
And I've got quite a lot to do to it inside because it belonged to my mother and her father, who I never knew. Sadly, he died when she was a girl. He made it for her. And so therefore, that's a project for a very wet December or something when I haven't got other work to do. And so I love toys, and I've also got a wound up toy, because the repair shop is one of my favourite things, of my dad's, when he was a little boy, a dog that bounces a ball and you wind, you know, one of those wind up ones. So I love anything toy-wise that's connected to... my family, really. I say that's what I'd say.
Well, we've identified some of the sort of classic winners for the season. We're still waiting for Juliet Ward to join us from Argos, because I mean, I'm particularly interested in terms of what is this almost bizarre fondness that people actually seem to have these days for pets that poop. So we have the Gotta Go Flamingo, a pooping flamingo, and heaven only knows what actually the Poopsie Dancing Unicorn is actually doing. So I feel Cindy, Barbie and Action Man would probably be most sort of concerned with respect to those pooping side of things. The Lego Lamborghini is in top position with the Child Animatronic Edition coming well. And Chloe was actually on the case because she was well aware, which I certainly wasn't at all, about the LOL Surprise OMG Fashion Dolls Series 3.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, again...
This pooping thing, I think, originates from tiny tears that wet herself.
Yes. Of course.
I think that's where that came. But I think the pooping has gone a bit too far. Plus, would you ever get an action man that poops? Not really. He's meant to be strong. But a car. So I think that's I remember one Christmas, my neighbours coming in and they got very young children, and the small girl was really excited, said, "Oh, Sarah, look what I've got." And we all went, "Ugh." And this was a dog that could give birth. So it had a zip.
Wow.
Unzipped the stomach. And all these puppies came out. And everybody went, "Oh." You know, and I just thought, yeah, for a five-year-old, that's quite... I mean, unless it was acting as some sort of prop to show how your mother could become pregnant and that, you know, another baby would come out. Possibly that was it. I don't know, but everybody choked on their... a little beverage at that moment, going, oh my goodness, how lovely. And she said, do you want to, and she was going around going, do you want the doggy to give puppies? And we're going, not at the moment, no, thanks very much. But it's all that kind of thing. But have you got any of your Barbie Cindy dolls?
I've got some Barbies, but they're in the loft upstairs. I've got loads. Absolutely, I had like 40 of them.
Wow.
I think they're in the loft, I think. But it's a shame. I should have probably brought that down. But it might be spooky up there, so I've sort of kept away. Hopefully not, but yeah, I absolutely love Barbies.
Have you asked Alex what his toys are?
Yes, Alex, what are your favourite toys? I haven't.
I mean, in terms of I suppose actually, I mean, it's difficult to view them as toys because ultimately, as you know, I mean, I view these as companions more than toys, really. I mean, they're sort of seeing us through so many sort of key things.
When I was just a wee little lad, full of health and joy, my father homeward came one day and gave to me a toy. A wonder to behold it was, with many colors bright, and the moment I laid eyes on it, it became my heart's delight. And it went when it moved and when it stopped and when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. Now the first time that I picked it up, I had a big surprise. For right on the bottom were two big buttons that looked like big green eyes. I first pushed one and then the other, then I twisted its lid. And when I set it down again, well, here is what it did. It went when it moved and when it stopped and when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. It first marched left and then marched right and then marched under the chair. And when I looked where it had gone, it wasn't even there. I started to cry and my daddy laughed. He knew just what I'd find. When I turned around, my marvelous toy came chugging from behind. And it went when it moved and when it stopped and when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. Well, the years have gone by too quickly, it seems, and I have my own little boy. And yesterday I gave to him my marvelous little toy. His eyes nearly popped right out of his head, and he gave a squeal of glee. Neither one of us knows just what it is, but he loves it just like me. It still goes when it moves and when it stops and when it stands still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
So ultimately, in terms of favourite toys and Argos's favourite toys from that perspective, as we actually sort of work through that, we should hopefully be joined in a few seconds now by the fabulous Juliet Ward, who's going to be fairly brief on this one because she's heading off to all sorts of other areas, but hopefully she can hear us. Juliet, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Hope you are too.
Very good. We've just been talking about our favourite toys and obviously Argos's favourite toys, etc. The one question you might be able to help us with, the pooping flamingo. What is it about the pooping flamingo that makes it so popular in this particular list?
Who's not going to want a pooping flamingo? I mean, we've had unicorns, we've had llamas, we've got a pooping flamingo this year. So you feed the flamingo rainbow-coloured food, it dances, it wiggles, it chirps, and then humorously, it wiggles and tells you when it needs to go to the toilet. Now, what is there not to love about that? Can you imagine the whole family, grandparents, everyone, round the Christmas table with the pooping flamingo as a centrepiece? I mean, it is fun for all ages, and who is not going to want one?
Sarah, clearly the story you were sharing with us about the dog who gave birth to puppies could now be superseded. I mean, I think Jules has sold it to us really at this stage. Your thoughts?
Yes, I'm obviously behind the times, and tiny tears is a thing of the past with weeing. Great. Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Actually, I'm laughing because it would be a real conversation breaker, wouldn't it? And it would certainly stop any bad behaviour happening on Christmas Day between grandmas, yeah. Different people.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, Sarah, though, you talk tiny tears, a personal favourite of mine as a child, without showing my age. But actually, what's been really interesting in our Argos research, talking to our customers, is how many people are reminiscing in a nostalgia way about toys from their own youth. And actually, 50% of parents have said that the time they have had on their hands through lockdown, they have all thought about their own childhood memories and their favourite toys. And over a fifth of them will let that influence what they buy for their own children this Christmas. So lovely to see Lego featuring in our top toy list this year, firm favourite for all generations. And actually for me, and you talking about tiny tears, actually a doll back on the list. So
yeah,
Sienna doll, lovely to see some, as a mother of two children myself, lovely to see some traditional imaginative play back on the list. And a classic doll, Sienna doll, she's with the time, she's modelled on a child dancer and performer, and actually daughter of CBeebies, Nigel Clark. But lovely to see some real traditional play back on the list, and it all not all about tech this year. So a real lovely mix.
Have our train sets making a comeback?
Train sets, Hot Wheels cars, all the classics are still there. Yes. We have thousands of toys in Argos, but this list is really around telling people what's new and exciting and what we think will be the big gift on the wish list this year.
Well,
what
Juliet,
what's going to be? What's the big one this year?
Do you know what? It depends what you're into. The Lego Lamborghini is a biggie, I think, for the whole family. It's an expensive gift, but parents are saying actually this year will be less around piles of presents and more thoughtful presents. And actually, they're inclined to spend more if the family and them as big kids stroke adults can get involved too. The Lego Lamborghini is a big project for dads, mums, grandparents, aunties, uncles, cousins, all to build an actual Lamborghini with a gearbox, steering system. It's an absolute wow piece and investment for the whole family.
Juliet, this is absolutely awesome. Yeah. And I'm just pleased that the tie that we call Zoom managed to work to actually bring you on board, because otherwise we would have been completely lost. But we did superbly well. Juliet, where would you recommend people should actually go to find out further details? Presumably head off to the Argos website.
Yep, argos.co.uk has it all on. And as always, middle of October, the iconic Argos gift guide will be out. So children can do the classic of circling all their favourites as they pull the list together. But gift guide nearer Christmas or from now, argos.co.uk, all the way through to Christmas itself.
Fantastic. Well, Juliet, we'll let you go because I know you've got another call that's coming through from that point of view. We didn't manage to quite connect with our toyologist, but absolutely essential work from that perspective. Juliet Ward, many thanks indeed. Obviously, Argos is Santa's little helper there in every sense of the word. It's great. Brilliant
stuff. We like to think so. Happy Christmas all. Weird to be saying it on the hottest day of the year, but happy Christmas to you all.
Exactly. Bye. Good stuff.
Bye.
Thank you.
And off heads Dooley to do various other bits and pieces there. Well, there we are. I mean, we got there in the end through the magic of various other bits and pieces. Although we're still waiting for our toyologist, but never mind. You know, maybe he's got caught up in Santa's workshop, spending so much time having fun with his toys.
With Lamborghini.
Clearly. Yeah. So, Chloe, you were listening to that. I mean, obviously, a lot of passion coming across from Juliet there in terms of her the views. Did she sell those pooping unicorns and pooping flamingos to you?
She did. She sold it very well, indeed. I mean, I know I'm not a kid anymore, but I was sort of reliving my childhood thinking, oh, I might try these new toys. Who knows? I mean, the Lamborghini, it's more of a family thing. So maybe try it.
Given what we were chatting about when Sarah was actually finding a part of her house for some kind of respite from
the sanctuary.
have you now been motivated to write a Christmas song for yourself about a pooping flamingo?
Yes, let's do this. This Christmas on Siren is going to be the pooping unicorn. I don't know, maybe, I'm not sure it's going to come, you know, pan out, but it's worth a try. I'll try the lyrics, see what happens with the melody, and maybe one day.
Sarah, you could have been assisting as a midwife to the birth of a whole new broadcasting musical genre here.
I think I might ask Father Christmas to bring you a Lego Lamborghini this year, Alex.
Yeah, well, there you go. That says everything.
I can see there's a little ripple of excitement in those eyes.
Yeah, I think that's probably just mild hysteria in terms of the number of screens I'm actually looking at to coordinate various other bits and pieces here and bringing something together. But we did, which is wonderful. So we thank Jules. She's gone off now to do various other bits and pieces. Peter Jenkinson, sadly, unable to join us. But for the moment, Sarah Huntley, have you had a reasonably interesting Zuma?
A pooping Zuma I've had, yes.
There is actually a character in Fireball XL5 called Zuni the Lazoon, which is well worth looking up on YouTube, basically. He's a Lazoon who's called Zuni. He usually sort of irritates Robert the Robot by saying, on our way home. In that kind of scary voice. I should probably have mild disturbed dreams with respect to thinking about all of those Barbie dolls currently waiting in Chloe's loft, probably having all sorts of parties, or maybe just crying because they've been abandoned for all these years and they're just sitting there.
Now I feel bad. Poor Barbies.
Is she ever going to come back and cut her hair again? We don't know. You know, it's amazing. Well, Chloe, have you had a reasonably interesting Zuma today?
I have. It's been a pleasure today. It's been interesting. You know, you talk about things every time, so it's all good. It's all good.
Well, there we are. And obviously, you're both back again in the very near future?
I hope so. Yes, please.
Essential. Sarah Huntley, Chloe Rose, keep on keeping on. And I can't leave with Happy Christmas. I mean, it just seems wrong, doesn't it?
You know? You're not on the hottest day of the year so far, please.
I know that we're in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic thing, but really, you know, it's just too much.
The rose is on the way. I'm going to embrace the sunshine. Here comes the sun, not here comes the sun.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Lovely song. I like that.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. It's all right. Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. See it, I see it.
little darling.
On an annual basis, we're always delighted to speak to Sophie Graham, Education and Awareness Coordinator and Careers Advisor at the National Careers Service. But I have to say, this year is a little bit more different, a little bit more special, because Sophie, we're using the magic of Zoom to connect with your good self, proving that technology can still actually help us as human beings.
Keeping us all very much connected during a difficult time, I think.
Absolutely essential. And of course, as we approach the exam results season, it's perhaps no surprise that young people are seeking a fair number of key worker roles after lockdown. The days in which folk were actually wanted to be reality TV stars and so on seem to actually finally be going. And it looks as though police officers, firefighters, and others have seen huge increases in terms of where young people are hoping to take their positions in life, really. I mean, that's good news, Sophie, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm sure there are still many young people with very high aspirations of becoming professional YouTubers and professional gamers. But what we have seen during lockdown is a spike in interest in careers and key working sectors. So hits to the job profiles on the National Careers Service website have almost doubled. And what we're seeing is, although the types of career in the top 10 are not hugely different, we have seen a couple creep in there that maybe wouldn't normally be. It's the sheer amount of numbers of people that are considering them that is the sort of main surprise here. I think during lockdown, we've all been incredibly inspired by the hard work that key workers have done. And I feel that may have inspired a lot of young people to start researching these particular job roles.
I was intrigued to find at number two in the list, train driver. I thought the train driver sort of almost went out with the last century, really, but obviously it's undergone a resurgence, really.
There's still a big demand for train drivers, not just on sort of your regular train lines, but also things like the underground and the metros still need train drivers. And it can be a very well-paid job, as I'm sure you could see from the job profile on the website if you did take a look at that particular career. So it is a very popular one.
Police officers, obviously, firefighters, primary school teachers, paramedics, teaching assistants, counsellors, airline pilots and care workers all in there. But the intriguing one for me, Sophie, was that which came in at number four, a border force officer. Is this an aspect of Brexit that we hadn't even thought about?
Border force officer has been in the top 10 for quite some time. I do believe that it is a popular career generally amongst particularly adults looking for career changes. But I feel there's been so much in the news at the moment for various different things that it will have naturally influenced people's thought processes and decision making. And it is a very popular and secure civil service job.
Now, the National Careers Service, of course, its website has already seen a 62% increase in web traffic this year. It's preparing to field twice as many calls from 16 to 18-year-olds after the exam results helpline opens and so on. We've said about some of the opportunities that are there, and I think it's important, Sophie, to really stress the fact that there are opportunities, that we don't need to actually sort of start saying, oh, it's all over, we're doomed and so on. We need to look at those opportunities, and certainly for our young people, they need to obviously look at exploring every avenue.
Absolutely. It's a key time of year for young people. You know, exam results are a week away for A-level students, 2 weeks away for GCSE. And it's a pivotal time. They're going to be making some big decisions based on their future. And the best advice I can offer is to make sure that you get the right advice for yourself. I think that it's going to be a unique year in terms of exam results. We're going to see a variation of questions that maybe we wouldn't have received in the past. And I think it's more important than ever that young people are seeking support with their results, with their options and their next steps. And the exam results helpline is there to do just that.
One of the things I always say to prospective students at the University of Lincoln, whether it's on a virtual open day, whether it's a physical open day, or whether it's a case of on the other end of a telephone line or a Zoom call, is you need to go with what I refer to as the tummy test. If it feels good, go with it. If it doesn't, then avoid it. I mean, would you say, whilst that's not necessarily the most scientific way, that sometimes look at all the options, keep breathing, and go with what you appeal, what appeals to you most? Would that be a useful advice line you'd suggest?
It is a lot about going with what you feel is the best option for yourself. And it's also important to know that there's no right or wrong or better or worse. There's certainly no one size fits all educational pathway. We are all very different and learn in very different ways. So if you don't feel that you want to go to university, for example, that is not a bad thing. And choosing a higher or degree level apprenticeship is just as prestigious as going to university now, and very well respected and encouraged by a lot of employers. So there are so many amazing opportunities out there. Certainly wouldn't rule them out or discard any of them, especially if it goes against your instincts.
With the advent of broadband and indeed doing what we're doing now in terms of a different way of using communications technology to work within that, there is always a need for kind of upskilling and developing skills from that point of view. Would you counsel folks to obviously start thinking about ways in which they can develop with new technology and use it as a supportive mechanism for their future work?
Technology-based skills are still very, very important for the future, absolutely. And I think it's important that young people in particular are keeping their skills as sharp as possible, so that when they do graduate or leave their apprenticeship, they're as employable as they possibly can be in what's always been a very competitive job market for graduates, for people leaving further education. And you do need to have that level of expertise and experience behind you in order to be a valuable asset to employers. So it's not just about choosing the right educational pathway, it's about supplementing that with a range of work experience and keeping your skills as sharp as you possibly can through possibly volunteering or doing some extra courses online. So yes, there's a lot to think about. And I feel that's where a service like ours comes in, as we're such a specialised service that offers that personalised level of careers support.
And something which has merged very much over the last two decades, really, of the 21st century, is this notion of having and preparing for a career portfolio. That actually the notions of a job for life, whilst not necessarily completely gone, it's more likely that change will ensue over the forthcoming years. So it is important that you keep flexible at all times.
Flexibility is a key skill that most employers look for in their candidates. So that's a really big key word you've just mentioned there. And around about 7 times is the average that we change job roles, not necessarily company, but promotion or job roles within the organization that we're working for. So a job for life is very rare now. You tend to find that you will either jump around through promotion or through career change. And on average, we do that around about 7 times across our working lives.
And Sophie, where is the best place to find out further details about the National Careers Service?
So if you Google us or search for us online, you will find us straight away. The exam results helpline will be opening on the 12th of August. It's free to contact on 0800 100 900, and it will stay open until the 28th of August following GCSE results. And it's available to young people and parents and career support workers for anybody who has received their exam results.
And Sophie, if anybody came up to you and said, I'd like to be an education and awareness coordinator for the NCS, what would your advice be?
My advice would be to maybe look into doing some careers advice and guidance qualifications, because in order to offer it, you do need to have at least a level 4 up to level 6, and maybe get some experience working with young people, offering them support and advice.
See, that's why we always appreciate you, Sophie. You go straight to the point there. No messing about. Right to the nub of the matter. Sophie Graham, Education and Awareness Coordinator and Careers Advisor at the National Careers Service. Huge thanks indeed, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on job. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. Keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Cry is not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me.
Recent research has revealed that nearly three quarters of British folk have made positive changes to their lifestyle since lockdown, which is great news. However, as the gradual drift back to the office continues, it seems as though we might be losing those healthy habits, less cycling and so on and so forth. Now, one person who will hopefully be able to point us in the right direction and ensure that the road to healthy habits is not paved with good intentions alone is the head of the Cycle to Work Alliance, the wonderful Adrian Warren. How are you, Adrian?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good, yes, and enjoying this wonderful opportunity of working from home and developing a whole range of other factors as well, and not missing the daily commute at all. However, as we said, it looks as though there's a suggestion, particularly if you listen to some of our Westminster folk in 10 Downing Street, that actually we need to get back to the office, and that might well be putting pressure on cycling, because clearly cycling at home is potentially different from when you're cycling to work with all of the challenge that might entail.
Yeah, and I think it's a different mindset, certainly from leisure cycling to actually cycling as a part of your commute. And I think the lockdown has enabled a huge amount of people, like you said, is 72% of people have made positive changes to their lifestyle. 83% of those took up cycling again. And the lockdown and the quieter roads enabled them to you know, start to build that confidence up with cycling on their own or cycling with their family and eliminating those early stages of wobbleness maybe on two wheels. But I do think that as lockdown starts to ease and government, as you say, start to encourage people to return to work, it's really about facilitating and enabling people to continue that change in behaviour of choosing to cycle rather than jumping back into a car.
There are moments when I tend to think, James, it's almost a no-brainer, I should say, Adrian, in terms of where we're going, what we're doing, and so on. Because clearly, when we're in a situation of wanting to have something which is good for the environment, good for us, and so on, is it not time that we actually started beginning to raise the issue that if the technology is there, which clearly we've manifested it has been, as we're doing now with respect to broadband and so on, that actually working from home and doing our fitness regimes, etc., at home is the way to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of employers have learned an awful lot over the last few months about how they maintain their productivity with their employees being at home. Certainly, employers have massively benefited from losing that hour in the morning or hour in the evening of having to commute and then converting that time to be able to do regular activity each day or spending more time with their family. And I think as employers are starting to look at how they accommodate their workforce coming back into the office or into the plant or whatever the environment might be, they need to look at, well, how do we do that in a way that meets with the requirements of our employees? Flexible working is a key one, which kind of suggests that you don't have to be so regimented in your office working hours, perhaps. But really, it's about employers being flexible, as they have done over the last few months in terms of lockdown, to allow employees to choose how they wish to work, be that from home or partly in the office.
I think it's fair to say that together with cycling, swimming is another key way in which people can actually maintain fitness and so on. Looking at some of the major benefits of the lockdown from the survey, we've already talked about spending more time with your family, improving mental health, and of course that new exercise regime. Surely those benefits do actually bleed over into the workplace, so that what the employer actually gets are better, more motivated workers who are less stressed, and also arguably you don't have to pay high office rates in the centre of cities as well.
Indeed, I couldn't have said it better myself. There are multiple benefits for employers to gain from this. One of the main ones is, you know, you've only got to see the lack of productivity in an employee that's been stuck in traffic for an hour. When they arrive at work, they probably aren't in the right mental state to start challenging and being productive right from the off. Whereas when you cycle into work, or even if you walk or jog into work, the mental state that you arrive in is more up for the day. You've cleared your mind. You've got the positive endorphins buzzing around your body. And I think that's where employers will get better productivity, a better mental attitude. You also get a fitter workforce. You know, that regular activity each day, or even two or three times a week, enables the propensity that your workforce will be sick to be less. And that could be through physical illness or mental illness. And as you pointed out on the survey that CycleScheme conducted, many people that have taken up regular exercise and whether that's cycling or not, has seen a lot of positive effects on their mental health. Certainly regular exercise, you know, has been widely documented during medical studies to reduce your risk of depression by up to 30%.
The takeaway, Adrian, seems to be quite literally that you need to keep that work-life balance very much to the fore. And with appropriate exercise, such as cycling and so on, the benefits are good for all, really. And that's something which I think in a sort of year where we've had an awful lot of challenging news, that maybe actually needs to be focused on, because finding that silver lining in a cloud of protests, depression, and indeed pandemics is often a little challenging.
Yeah, indeed. And I think this shows that there is a ray of sunshine coming out of that. And certainly there's a willingness from our population to maintain it. So, you know, one of the other stats that came out is 77% of people that have changed their habits, spending more time with their family and cycling more, want to maintain that going forward. They don't want to lose it. So really, I think you know, for our employers and for our government. It's really about, well, how do they facilitate that willingness? How do they meet the requirements of their employees, but still maintain, obviously, the productivity that they need to run their business?
The message is quite clear, Adrian. How can people actually follow continuing debate with respect to the Cycle to Work Alliance? Is it just a case of using a search engine and going straight there?
Well, if you go to cycletoworkday.org, all the information and advice is there for people to read, how you save on a bike, information around employers helping you. So all the information is on cycletoworkday.org.
And presumably, Adrian, you haven't even had to cycle to the studio to actually go and do this, because, you know, we've saved the environment on that basis as well.
It's the first Cycle to Work Day that I've been able to do interviews from home, which is fantastic. But I will be going out on a bike ride just after lunch to ease up my day.
Fantastic. Adrian Warren, head of the Cycle to Work Alliance. Take care and keep cycling, Adrian.
Thanks very much. You too.
Like the fact that I will love you till I die. We are 12 billion light years from the edge. That's a guess. No one can ever say it's true, but I know that I will always be with you. I'm warm by the fire of your love every day. So don't call me a liar, just believe everything that I say. There are 6 billion people in the world, more or less, and it makes me feel quite small, but you're the one I love. Most of all, of the love that you give me every night. There are 9 million bicycles in Beijing. That's a fact. It's a thing we can't deny, like the fact that I will love you till I die. And there are 9 million bicycles. And you know that I will love you.